We begin the current daf Masechet Baba Basra daf Kuvav. We begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnahs and the theme of this Perek, discussing the title of the Perek, Base Kor. When someone sells a base kor of Ofer, now as the previous Mishnahs discussed, what if it's not exactly a base kor of Ofer that he sells him? If it's a little off, what's the halacha? And that depends what type of stipulations were made, as we discussed regarding if he says measured by a rope, or if he says a little bit more, a little bit less. Samish discusses a different variable and what the ramifications are. Let's say someone says to his friend, a base kor of Ofer I'm going to sell you, b'simanov uve mitzarav, with its signs and with its boundaries. In other words, he tells him, within these designated areas that you see, take that all, that's the base kor of Ofer that I'm selling you. So says the Mishnah, and there's a big discussion regarding the girsois over here, even the Rashbam itself, regarding if the word from Mishtus, if we have in the text the mem or not, we're going to read it without that. Pachais shtus, if it's a less of a sixth, in other words, if it's even more than a quarter of a kav to a saw. I mean, up until now we had spoken about, let's say when you say hein chas or hein yeser, where there it doesn't have to be exactly, but the limit is up to a quarter of a kav per saw difference. Here it's going up till a sixth, which is double that double, which is four times, because actually a sixth is the sixth kav and to a saw. So the sixth is a kav per saw, which is four times a quarter of a kav. Now here, although as we said by hein chas hein yeser, there the measurement is only a quarter of a kav per saw. Here you're going to actually extend it even larger. The area of error, the margin of error is going to be larger. And the reason for that is because since without this word of b'simanav mitzarv, if a person would just say beis kor ofer ani moichalach, we already established enough kofdalam and alav, that already is considered like hein chaser hein yeser. I mean, even if you didn't say that, we explained in the Gemara, it's only if you say mid bechel that you mean exacting. But if you don't say that, if you just say I'm selling a beis kor ofer, that already is like you said, as if a little bit more, a little bit less, and that gives you up until a quarter kav per saw. Now that besides saying beis kor, you also added the words b'simanov of mitzarov, with these dimensions I'm selling you, you're coming to add on to your description and saying that even if the error is larger than that, whatever is in this area, even though we're going to be a little bit off, which is, as the Mishnah is describing, if it's up until less than a sixth, so then higiyoy, then it's going to be a valid sale. And the reason for that is because since he's showing him, okay, I told you base core, but I'm also showing you what the perimeter is. So it's as if he's saying, I'm selling you this field as it is, which is whether it's small or bigger than what I was telling you. Now, but ultimately, since he is using the words base core, if he didn't say the word base core and he just said in this area, so then whatever it would be a valid sale. But together with the fact that he's saying base core, which means say, okay, it's not going to be exacting, because saying base core means a little bit more, a little bit less, but it has to be close to a base core, which it cannot be, the differential cannot be more than a sixth of a difference, which is it can't be more or less in that margin of error, whether it being more or less of per kav per saw. Now, let's say, however, says the Mishnah, Ashtus, but if it's, let's say, more than that, all the way coming down till a sixth, then Yenaka. Then the halacha is going to be that you will deduct from the price, whether if it's went up or down. If he gave more than that, which is over that amount, beyond the sixth, then the buyer has to give back that amount. And if he gave less than that amount, meaning more than the sixth of a difference of what he didn't give, then he has to deduct from the price. Now, in the Gemara actually, there's a machlekes amiram, what's with the halach of the sixth itself? We seem to be describing less than a shtus or more than a shtus. But what's the halach regarding if it's exactly the shtus itself? Is it like less than a shtus? And then it's going to be a valid sale? And the way you would read the Mishnah then is, if when it says paches shtus, what it means to say is, it doesn't mean less than a shtus, because even the shtus itself, even the sixth itself is like less than the sixth. Rather, you would have to read, as the Gemara will explain, paches, if it's less from a base kur by a shtus, and for sure if it's less than a shtus, then it's going to be a valid sale. But if it's more than a shtus, and going downward up until a shtus, but not including a shtus itself, which is a sixth, then you'll deduct. Or maybe, which is the other opinion of the Gemara, that actually a sixth is like more than a sixth. And therefore, then you would have to read the Mishnah when it says, paches mishtos higiyoi, What it means to say is that if there is this fraud, if there is this large error between them, that paches would be going not on base kor, but paches mishtus. If it's less than a sixth, for example, whether if that was more or less than the base kor that was supposed to be, but that margin of error was less than a sixth, then higiyah, then that's going to be a valid sale. But if it was yaisi mishtus, but it was more than a shtus, meaning beyond that, it was a much larger error, going ad shtus until a shtus, and that includes the shtus, the sixth itself, then it's going to be a naka, then you'll deduct, again, as we said, from the price of the money. And again, if it was, however, if the seller gave too much, and it was beyond the sixth of a difference, then the buyer will have to give back the land. Now, Rashbam just clarifies that this halacha that we're saying in our Mishnah of a sixth is not because, although there is another common halacha that also goes based on the halacha of a sixth, which is the halacha of price fraud, which that's what's called a shtus, that was not the reason for this halacha over here, that, oh, it's a price difference of a sixth, oh, so that's considered mekach tais. It's not the case, because the halacha of price fraud only applies to movable items, to metalman. But by land, there's no price fraud, because land could go for any price, and it's not considered a ino. Because even if you would sell something worth a pruta for a mano, or something worth a mano for a pruta, that would be a valid sale by land. Rather, explains Rashbam, this is just a rabbinic measurement where for that differential, a person would be forgiving a meichel when he uses the terminology of simanov uv mitzarev, but more than that, a person would not be meichel. So it's a rabbinic halacha regarding what a person allows for margin of error, but not because of the halacha of a no. Now, Itmar, we learned, which we alluded to this machlekes when we described the Mishnah, there's a machlekes regarding the sixth itself. Rav Huna Amar, he says that if there's a difference of a shtus, of a sixth, which again is a kav per sa, that will be a valid sale, kipaches mishtus, just like we learned in the Mishnah, if it's going to be less than a sixth of a difference, when you say this case of selling a base korv offer, b'simanov of mitzarev, within these boundaries. Rav Yehuda Amar, he disagrees. He says, no, shtus ki yaisi mishtus. If it's a sixth of a difference, then it's like more than a sixth of a difference, which we said that no, that's not going to be valid, and you're going to have to deduct from the price. So the Gemara explains their machlekes. Rav Huna Amar shtus ki pachis mishtus. He says, a sixth is like less than a sixth, because hachikam, and this is how you're supposed to read the Mishnah. Pachis mishtus vishtus bichlal. If it's less than a sixth, and that includes a sixth too, higioi, that's going to be a valid sale. Now, how do you read that? What do you mean? The Mishnah is saying less than a six. How are you saying a 6.2? So the reason is because you have to read the words in the Mishnah that it says, paches mishtus higiyoi, that actually the words paches is not going on mishtus. The words paches is, if it's less than the base kur by a shtus. So it's not paches, it's paches shtus, and that's where the girsa gets in about having the girsa of the mem, because it would be, let's say, without the mem, pachais, if you deduct from the amount of the base kor that you officially were selling him, by a shtos, and for sure, if it would be less than a shtos, where it's not such a big margin of error, then it would be a valid sale. Now, therefore, that's what the Mishnah is saying, when it continues to the next line that says that until a shtos, it's going to be a nake. The way Rav Huna understands it is what's called ad v'loy ad v'chlal. The way Rashbam explains it, meaning sometimes when it says until, does that include the until? Until 1 o'clock, does that include 1 o'clock or only up until 1 o'clock? So Rav Huna holds that it's ad v'loy ad v'chlal, not including what it's up to. So therefore, when it says in the Mishnah, yoyse mishtus is yinake, it's only what's more than the sixth you're going to deduct. But the sixth itself, you're not going to because it's like less than a sixth. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, he disagrees. He says, no, shtus ki yoyse mishtus. A sixth is like more than a sixth. And hachikam, this is the way you're supposed to read the Mishnah, which this would make sense with the mem, paches mishtus higiyoi, which is, the paches is going on the shtus. Paches shtus, if it's less than a sixth of a difference of the margin of a base kor, then higiyoi, then that's going to be valid. But ad shtus, but up until a sixth, vishtus bechlal, and including the sixth, if that's the difference, then you're not good, then you'll have to deduct, because according to Yehuda, he holds ad vi ad bechlal. When you're saying up until the sixth, that includes the sixth too, that is already too much of a margin of error, and that you're going to deduct from what the sale price was, because it was too much of a difference of how much you had promised of a base kor of offer, even though you said b'mesimanov of mitzarev within this perimeter. So that's a machlokes. So the Gemara says Meisvei. The Gemara asked Rav Huna's interpretation from the following brisa. The brisa talks about the case of our Mishnah. If someone said, "I'm going to sell you a base korb offer bisimanov over mitzarov," and he gives the flags and the signs of the boundaries of what this land is, so says the brisa, "Pichishtus ayhaisishtus." So, which is the case that our Mishnah is describing, which we're going to try to clarify regarding the sixth itself. So if there's a if he does a sixth less or does a sixth more, Saharehu Kishum Hadayon. So this has the same aloha like the evaluation of the judges, which in this case higiyoi. So what it's going to be is going to be a valid sale. Now this aloha of Shum Hadayon is brought in Masechta Ksubos and Pergamon and the Zionist of Tzadik Tesh Beis, where the Mishnah there describes that the judges evaluate. Which that's regarding when the court gets involved, when there's assets by orphans, when they usually can't sell their assets because they're minors, but when it comes to providing sustenance for the wife and for the daughters where there's a requirement, so the court gets involved and they sell the assets of the orphans. Now, let's say they make an error that's a difference of a sixth, whether they oversell at a sixth or undersell at a sixth. So there the Mishnah describes that then their sale is going to be void. Now, explains the Gemara. V'hashum hadayonin, now regarding the evaluation of the judges, dishtos, if their error is an error of a sixth of how much the price is really supposed to be. So as we just described, the halacha is that it's going to void the sale, because ki yaisim ishtos hu, the halacha over there is, as we described, that Mishnah teaches over there in Perek Amon Nezaynis, that if it's an error of a sixth, it's going to be like, meaning more than a sixth, which is then the mekach is going to be batel, it's going to be void. Now, since this price is comparing the halacha of a sixth of our Mishnah, of when someone sells a base korf offered to someone else, to the halacha of Shum HaDayanin, so we see that sixth is like more than a sixth, which is by a sixth, you have to go ahead and give it back, which is difficult, like Rav Hun, who said that a sixth is like less than a sixth. Now, there is an obviously glaring question, which is actually going to be part of Rav Hun's response to the question on him, which is, so even if you're comparing it to Shum HaDayanin, then why is the Brisa saying higiyoy? Why is it saying that it's a valid sale? Why, if a six is like Shum HaDayanin, which is then it's not valid, so why is he saying higiyoy? But that's a question, but first the Gemara is asking on Rav Huna by saying if you're comparing it to Shum HaDayanin, well then you see a six is not like less than a six, rather like more than a six, which is not like Rav Huna. And that Rav Huna would tell you as follows, like we just alluded to. What do you mean? And according to your reasoning, Rabbi Yehuda, who you disagree with me, Higia Katani. The Brisa says clearly that it is going to be a valid sale, which sounds like that the six is like less than the six. So instead of asking on me from the ratio of that Brisa, you're the safer, the Brisa is difficult on you. So rather what you have to say is, and this is going according to Rashbam's preferred explanation, which this is the extent of what Rav Huna is answering, and the rest is actually going to be Rabbi Huda's statement. Rather, what Rav Huna is obviously responding to Rabbi Huda is that when it's less than when there's a difference in this base korf offer by either being a sixth less or a sixth more, the Brisa is clearly saying that higiyoy, it will be a valid sale, and it says kishum adayonin, the halacha is saying that it's valid sale. Now, Rav Huna would be explaining that this Brisa is going like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who he disagrees with Masechta Ksubos. And he says, that's not true what you Chacham say, that if, as we quoted before, that by Shum HaDayanin, if it's an error of a sixth, then it's going to be void. Because Rav Shimon Gamliel says, huh, if that's the case, then Makoich Bezen Yafa, what you don't give any really a strong power to the courts, because if they're a little bit off, oh, no, it's not valid. Now, so therefore, actually, the Brisa is correct, and it is like Rav Huna, that yes, it is just like Shum HaDayanin, which if it is off by a sixth, it actually is a valid sale. And that's exactly what the Brisa is saying. Higiyoy is going on both cases. It's going on a sixth, just like less than a sixth, on both cases of Shum HaDayanin and on the case of B'Siman of Mitzarev, where a sixth is like less than a sixth. So therefore, Rav Huna says, that's like me, which is difficult on you, Rav Huda. Now, that's what the Gemara continues, and Rabbi Huda responds to Rav Huna and says, no. According to me, it's also not difficult. Because I could also resolve the Brisa according to my opinion. Because Ella, rather, and that's where there is discussion to take out the word Ella, responds to Rabbi Huda, no. You're right, the Brisa says, Kishum HaDayanim, that it's like the valuation of the judges, but that means to tell you it's not exactly, but it's like, because it's also below Kishum HaDayanin. On some level, says Rabbi Huda, it's not exactly like the evaluation of the judges. Because this that the Brisa says higiyoy, that it's going to be a valid sale, that's not because, as you Rav Huna wants to say, that a sixth is going to be a mechila just like less than a sixth. Because in truth, the halacha is like me, says Rabbi Huda, that a difference of a sixth is like more than a sixth, and that has to be given back to the other party. Now this that is comparing it, Kishum HaDayanin, like the evaluation of the judges, that's only in regards to lishtus, to the halacha of a sixth. In other words, just like by the evaluation of the judges, the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel, like the Chacham that we were assuming that the Brice is going like. It's not going to be a mechila, it's not going to be forgiven, and it's not going to be valid. Here also, it's not going to be a mechila. It's on that element that it's like Shum HaDayan. That's not going to be totally looked away and totally forgiven. But still, v'loika Shum HaDayan, it's not going to be exactly like the valuation of the judges. Why? Because the ilo hasim, because whereas over there by the valuation of the judges, when it's a sixth of an error, when they're selling the nechsi yisayimim, then as we quoted from that mission over there, batal mekach, the sale is totally void, as the mission there teaches that mechrim batal. But the ilo hacha, but whereas over here says Rabbi Yehuda, higiyai, then it is going to be a valid sale. In other words, what that means to say is that it's not going to totally void the sale of the base core of offer. Rather, the sale is going to be valid, but it's going to be yachzer. They're going to have to give back that difference, as our Mishnah taught. Because if it's up until a sixth, you're going to have to deduct. And that's what the halacha is coming to tell us, that although that the Braisa is comparing the two cases of the Siman of a Mitzarav and the halacha of Shema Dayanim, it's only comparing that both of them have this halacha, that when it's by a sixth, it's like more than a sixth. But even so, there's a difference. Over there, it's going to totally void the sale, whereas over here, the sale is going to be valid. And the reason for that is because over there is because since the courts made an error, so then whatever they had done is totally undone, and it's not a valid sale. But here, the contrast is, as Rashbam explains, they both want this sale. This guy wants to sell, and this guy wants to buy. So therefore, the sale is going to be valid, but the aina, the difference that was too much of a margin of error, which is a sixth, is going to be like more than a sixth in the sense that there's no mechila on that, and that's going to have to be given back to the party that was frauded. But therefore, that resolves the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda too, which is there's no challenge over here from the halacha of higiyah. It is higiyah in the sense that it's a valid sale, but not that because it's totally mechila, like less than the shtos. No, on that it's going to be like Shema Dayanan, that it's not going to be mechila. It's just that it's not exactly where there would be totally void, and here it's going to be valid. It's just, but there will have to be given back that difference of a sixth, because in that regard it's like more than a sixth. Now, another Gemara continues, so therefore both opinions are resolved, both Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, regarding their respective opinions regarding a sixth, if it's like less or more than a sixth. Now, on this halacha, the Gemara brings the following incident. Rav Papa Zavin Arama Hu Gavr. Papa bought a certain piece of land from that individual. Now, as we continue to Midbeis, Amar Lei, this seller had told to Rav Papa that this piece of land that I'm selling you, Havye Estrin Gerive Mashche, that it is, its measurement is 20 saw. Now, that would be similar to the case of saying Siman of a Mitzarv, where he's, besides telling him that it's, he's telling him that this piece of land has this amount of measurements, and he also said that it's in this specific perimeter, this specific dimensions. Now, says the Gemara, but the problem was, although he said that it's 20 measurements, but actually only ended up being 15, which was a difference of a quarter of how much he was promised that he was selling him for. Now, so Rav Papa came in front of Abaya. Abaya said to Rav Papa that although there was a discrepancy of a quarter over here, but Savrit v'kabilas, you thought about it, you realized there was this difference, and you accepted the sale anyway, and therefore that's it. You can't get your money back. You paid for whatever you paid, and you got only 15. So on that, as Rav Papa, but Vatznan, we learned in our Mishnah that we said, Pachais Mishto Segiyai, if the difference is only a sixth, maybe a sixth, but for, less than a sixth, then okay, then there's Mechila, then there's a valid sale. But the Mishnah said, Ad Shtos, if it's more than the sixth going all the way down to the sixth, Yenake, then you're going to deduct from the price. And here, it was beyond the sixth, it was a quarter of a difference, which is more of a margin of error, and therefore it should be deducted. So why are you saying that I have to, that's it, I can't get any money back? The Mishnah says clearly that if it's more than a sixth of a difference, that you do deduct. Oh, so that Abai responded to me, says, no. Hanimili, when did we say the halacha of our Mishnah? That was Hecha de Leikimle, that's where the consumer was not well-versed. Begava, he wasn't aware of the actual measurements of the field. So therefore, that's something that was an error, and therefore, if it's already more than a sixth, then he's not going to be moichel on that. But if, regarding if the consumer is aware of that, in other words, you were aware of the dimensions of this field, you knew it, although he said 20, it only has 15, and since you knew, so therefore says Abaya, sav of a kabbal, so you knew, you accepted, you were moichel, and therefore that's halacha, says Abaya, that you can't get your money back, you're only going to get what you got, even though it's only 15 for the price that you paid, which allegedly he told you was 20. No. On that side, Rav Papa backed him, but Vaesa normally, but he told me he's selling me a measurement of 20 saw. Now, it was with that intention that he told me that if it's not, that he'll pay me the difference from another field, or he'll deduct the price from me, because that's why he told me that the measurement is 20, because he himself thought it's 20, and it was with that intention that he'll compensate me that it should be a full measurement of 20. So why are you saying that I'm stuck with just this 15? So Amalei, Abaye said to him, it's not true. Because the seller could tell you that this that I told you I'm selling you 20 was not because I wanted to give you 20. It could even be that he knew that this field only has 15. But what he meant to tell you when he says he's selling you a measurement of 20 was the adifa ka'esrin, that it's just as good as quality as 20 saw of a different field. And he was just coming to tell you how great his field of 15 was, and therefore he was not promising you any 20, he was promising you 15. When he said 20, he meant it's just as good, and therefore you have nothing on him, and therefore you're stuck, you don't get any money back. Now, the Gemara continues, as Rashbam explains, since we learned a halacha in our Mishnah, regarding someone that sells a piece of land to his friend in a certain measurement, which we spoke about in our Mishnah regarding a base korb offer, and then we said, and it turns out that it's more than the measurement was supposed to be. He sold him more than the base korb offer. So we said, then if it's beyond that six, he has to give it back. And we don't say that the sale is totally void, as we described. That's the difference that Rabbi Yehuda was describing between that case and the Shema Dayana. It's not that the sale is totally void. It's you got to give back the excess. So because of that halacha, the Mishnah related, the Gemara then brings what the Gemara is going to quote later, which is going to be Itmar. The Gemara is going to say a machloikis regarding a case of two brothers that they split an estate, and then only later did a third brother come, where Shmuel comes and says halacha mekamtzin, which is that they actually keep what they divided, they just give back to the brother what was more from their portion, they go ahead and they give to him what's called machzer-like, meaning what they split was valid to split. They just have to give him back in excess that they took, which is similar to the halacha of our Mishnah, which is the same idea where the sale will be valid, although there was an error, you just have to give back that margin of error. So because we want to say that halacha of Shmuel, so first we're going to quote this Braisa, which actually the halacha of Rav and Shmuel is based on like this halacha of the Braisa, which talks about this halacha of dividing an estate through a geirel, through a lottery, which through that you acquire, which is on that case that Rav and Shmuel discuss regarding where they divide, and then the brother comes, which is similar to this halacha that we're going to quote from this Braisa of Rabbi Yasi, which is when you do a geirel, but you only do one of the brother's lottery, but you didn't do for everyone else. It's on that then continues halacha Rav and Shmuel, which again, that relates back to a similar concept of our Mishnah. That's why we're discussing this Braisa over here. It's a tiny little Braisa. Rabbi Yasi, he says as follows, Ha'achin shecholku, regarding brothers that they divide, meaning they select two, three portions that are equal portions, and then they go ahead and they're going to make a lottery who's going to get which portion. And the same thing would apply to partners, not just to brothers, that are dividing a property. Says Rabbi Yisi, kivin sha'ala gairu le'echad mehem, once the lottery is taken for one of the brothers, which means to say he picks a lottery and it's now decided which is his portion, sakana kulam, so now all of them have acquired their shares. In other words, since this guy acquired his portion by his part of the lottery, now no one can now back out, even though it's not finished yet, the whole entire lottery. Now, so therefore, if let's say there was two brothers or partners that were splitting. So once this guy acquires his portion by getting his lottery, so now his other partner, his other brother, automatically acquires his part too, because who do you think the other lottery is going to be, if not the other brother? He's the only other one. Now, actually, even if there's three brothers, once this brother picks his lottery, he acquired his portion. Now, the two other brothers acquire amongst themselves those two portions to then divide between themselves whenever they want to, even to make a new apportioning. But the thing is that now they acquired, those two are acquiring those two. Now, however, if let's say they had already picked lotteries for all the brothers, that's obvious to the Gemara that all of them are going to acquire, even though neither one of them went and made a chazaka on it yet, because since they are already basically muchzik on these properties in the entire land, because they're the inheritors, the only thing that the purpose of the kinyan of the geirul is doing is only to select, so which is which, but they don't have to go out and create a chazaka because they already have ba'atzim a chazaka on the whole thing, they just need to have a geirul which is just to clarify which is their portion. So that's halacha Rabbi Yisi. Once one brother does, all of them acquire. Now that the Gemara asks, but my taima, what's the reason? How actually do they acquire, but the lottery, and especially the chazaka, wasn't done by any, but by all the brothers in their parts, because if they had done the chazakah, then what would be the chiddush Rabbi Yosi? So if they didn't do chazakah, what does it help that there is a brother that did a lottery, which then clarifies for the rest of the lottery, but that's just a lottery. Where is exactly is their kinyan of chazakah, or any kinyan, in these properties? And then in Rabbi Elazar, he says, kitchilas Eretz Yisrael, because this is just like the beginning of when they split up Eretz Yisrael, which is matchila begarol, just like when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they split it by a lottery. Avkam begarol here also, just by doing a lottery, will split the land. Now the Gemara asks, Ima lahalan, pekal fevor mutumim, but then if you're comparing it to how they split up Eretz Yisrael, well, just like over there, they did it with a box, with through the divination of the Urim Betumim, which is what the Kohen Gadol wore, whereas the Gemara says in Yesh Neichlin, later on, Kavchav Bezim Anaf, that Elazar was wearing the Urim Betumim, and Yeshua and all the Jewish people were standing in front of him, and there was a box that had the tribes' names, and he had a box that had the different boundary of the properties' names, which were in front of him, and he would pick them up, and he would be mechavin based on the divine spirit, which should match up to which. So if that's the case, if you're comparing it to how they did it then afkan b'kalfav urmatum, then also here, when brothers are dividing, should also have to be with boxes, and with the urmatumim, which we don't have the urmatum anymore. So Amr Vashi, he says that, no, it's true that we're comparing it to how they originally split up Eretz Yisrael, which the kinyan was with a gerul. So too over here, when brothers divide, it works with a lottery too. Now, but then your question is, well, just like over there was with a box and urmatumim, so too here, no, the reason why we don't need that much when brothers are dividing or partners is because they conclusively decide with a full heart to give over that with a full kinyan to the one that he picks his lottery immediately. Their, what's called gemiras das, their intention with the lottery works just as strong as the urim betumim, where it helps even though that they didn't go ahead and make a full-fledged kinyan. And the reason for this is because Ba'ahu Ano, the Kutsai Sila Hadadi, with that benefit, which in many times in Shas we find that benefit is considered a tangible thing, it has a monetary value to it, it's almost like there's a kinyan on that, with that benefit that the brothers are listening to each other to go ahead and we all agreed that we're going to divide by a lottery, which each one will take his portion that way, and they don't want to have this partnership anymore, so therefore they don't want anything getting in the way, they obviously want to go ahead and get this done. So with that benefit that they all agree, Gamri umaknu ladadi. That's such a benefit that is like they conclusively go ahead and acquire to whichever brother the lottery falls on. That's their way of being makna, their portion to that brother, and therefore that works with a gerul. Yeah, the concept of gerul is from the portion of Eretz Yisrael, but how does that work even without all those elements? Is because of the gemiras das, because of the willingness of all the brothers that goes ahead and allows the kinyan of splitting by a gerul to work. Now, based on this halacha of Rabbi Yosi, where we continue, that was why we introduced this halacha, was Itmar. We learned as follows, the following machlokes. Shnei achen shecholku, two brothers that divide property. Uvolehen ach medinas hayam. Then suddenly there's a third brother that comes from overseas and says, I'm your third brother. Now, they had not included him in the inheritance when they divided it. So what's the halacha? So Rav am a batla machlokes. Rav says what they had originally divided is totally void, and they have to go re-subdivide it now initially into three different portions and go ahead and do a new lottery. Because although that they had already done a lottery, which we said based on the halacha of the previous brisa of Rabbi Yosi, that when one of them does a lottery, it works for all of them, that's only if the apportioning was done appropriately. But where it wasn't done appropriately, because each brother took more than they were supposed to, because they split into two when really were supposed to be split into threes, so that's an erroneous apportioning, and therefore you have to do the whole thing over. Ushmol Amr, he disagrees. He says, no, but Kamtzin means to say to take apart, to take aside. Meaning, they keep the divisions. This brother got his half, he got his half. Now, each one takes off from his part a third and gives it to this third brother. So, for example, let's say they inherited six fields. One brother took three and the other brother took three. Now this third brother comes. What they do is each one takes off one field from his three fields and gives it to that new brother. So it comes out that all three brothers will have two fields now and they're all equal. And therefore, that's what it says Shmuel. You don't have to redo the whole thing. Just you have to go ahead and now make it equal again. Which again is similar to that concept of our Mishnah, which is although it was done in a larger margin of error, but it doesn't avoid the whole thing. You just have to give back and make it the way it's supposed to be. Now, on that, the Gemara asks on both of their interpretations. Amalei Rav L'Rav Nachman says, L'Rav D'Amabat L'Machlek, it's according to Rav that says that since there was a mistake over here, there was a third brother that wasn't counted in, the whole thing's void and you got to do it over again. Sa'alma Hadar Dina. So you see this concept that you got to do it over again. In other words, you got to go ahead and redivide, because when they took their portions, they did it without the understanding and the willingness and the conceptual framework of the third brother. So on that asks Rava Elamiyata, but if that's the case, so Hani Beit Lassam. When you have three brothers or three partners, the kaimi that they're all around, the Oslo Beit Minayu Polig, and then you have two of them that they go and they divide the property without the awareness of the third brother or partner into three different parts in front of a court of even three common people, as the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Are you going to tell me that Hachinami de Batal Machlek is that they're also, that's going to totally void what they divided? Meaning, when the third guy comes and says, hey, I don't want what you guys did over here that you split, what? Ask Rabbi, you think there the halach is going to be that it's going to be batla the machlekes? Now, which Rashbam infers from the strength of Rabbi's question, that you obviously see from his question that it was so obvious to the Gemara that when you have three brothers or three partners, or two brothers and or two partners, as the Gemara says in Eil Mitzis Lamed Alfa Mabez, as there was such an incident with Isser and Rav Safra, that they had a business deal together, and Rav Safra went and split it without the awareness of Isser in front of two different people, that when one person splits without the awareness of his friend, for example, where he goes in front of three people, and he has witnesses that he split in front of three people, as the Gemara describes in Perek Elamitzias, that is a valid division, and now the friend, the partner, the brother cannot come ahead and contest on it at all, and if he divided not in front of the courts, then that would have no validity. And then, yeah, then whatever he increased the benefit would be split equally. But that would only be something that needs an evaluation, as the Gemara there in Bava Metzia describes, but if it would be a division of something that's money, which it doesn't have to be evaluated because money is money no matter which monies you get, then that wouldn't have to be done in front of a court. But even land, if it's being done in front of three people, that's Rava's question. He says, what do you mean? We know the halacha is that it's not going to be void. But based on this concept you're saying from Rav, it should be because the third one was not in on it and he's contesting it. So how does that go well with Rav's halacha, which says that it should be voided? So that Rav Nachman responds to Rav, he says, what, hachi hashtra? Can you compare the two cases? Hassam, in the case you're asking me from, which as the Gemara and Rav is taking it pretty obvious that the thing would not be voided, as we find that story in Bava Metzia, Hassam nechisia daita de beit lasa miyikara. There, initially, when they were splitting it into three different parts, meaning these two partners who went without the third partner's awareness, they were splitting it in a way that was appropriately to be divided amongst all three of them. So therefore, that's why we're not concerned for that third partner when he comes and he complains and he says, hey, I wasn't in on this, let's do this over. It's not true, because even if you had been here, we would have done it the same way anyway. We would have made three parts and we would have done the same lottery. So therefore, that's why we don't consider and do over when he comes and complains. Whereas Hacha, but over here in the case of Rav, where here it's retroactively has been revealed that actually it was done wrong. Each partner, these two guy brothers split it just amongst the two of them, which they took too much, because there's really a third brother, that was done in error. There they didn't do it with the intention of splitting it amongst three, and therefore that was erroneous, the whole splitting. That's why Rav says over there, the batla machlek is that the thing's going to be void. And that's not difficult in the other case, which initially was done right, and we don't need the third guy's awareness. Now, Amalei Rav Papa L'Abaya. Now, Rav Papa asked Abaya regarding Shmuel's opinion. L'Shmuel d'Amim Mekamtzin, according to Shmuel that says that, no, you don't have to do over the whole thing. Just each partner, each brother takes off from his and sets aside, and that they have to then shear to give to the third brother that he gets just as much as them, but they keep their initial portion. So Asra Papa Tabai, Lememer Dukamdina, is that to say that according to Shmuel, the halacha is that whoever takes more than what he should, it's just that he just doesn't take the appropriate amount because he took too much, and then similarly the same thing would apply if he takes too little. That Shmuel's saying, no, whatever he took, and the portioning is valid. You just got to go ahead and then repackage it to make sure, give off a little bit, or take back a little bit, whatever were the margin of error to give to the other party. On that as Rav Papa, but Rav Shmuel Damitavayu, they both say the following halacha, which recorded this in the previous daf. Kor b'shleishim ani moichalach. If someone tells someone else, I'm going to sell you a kor, which is 30 saw for 30 coins, so yachal lavs the boy, so they could back out, even if it's up to the last saw, if they already did Mashiach on 29 saws, but they didn't do 30 saws, since it's one kinyan, which requires Mashiach in the whole thing, until you finish, they could back out. Now, let's say he said, kur b'shleishim, sa b'sel ani moichalach. He said two different terminologies. One is a kur for 30, and a saw per sella, that I'm selling you. So although that's the same ratio, but the difference is if you consider each one as a separate kinyan, the second terminology is saying a sub a sella, then says Rav and Shmuel, the rishon kana, that then you acquire each one as you got it, as we explained in the previous daf, because since it's a suffix, so then the muhsik is the kaina who already took it, so then it gets to keep those that of every sa that he took already. But what Rapapa's question Abaye is, why did Shmuel say, in the case of kor b'shleishim, that the seller could back out, even if it's the almost up to the last saw, and he could take away from the lekiach the 29th saw that already came to his hand, because they didn't do mashiach on all 30 saw. But why? Since it was fit for the consumer to take the car, which is like the stipulation of the seller, which was to sell the car, he just didn't get the 30th saw yet. So the question is that what the buyer already was zoichin, which is 29 of them, you should say that he already got it. Because even though he didn't get yet the exact measurement which is fit to him, but still, it's the portion that should be his. It's just not the exact measurements. Obviously, says Rav Papa, that you see from this, that it's not true that when you take too little, you didn't take everything you're supposed to say, that then we could do over the whole thing. So then, for sure, when you take too much, which is like what we said before, which is then for sure, you're going to say that, oh, so it's not an appropriate way. You have to do it over, which that contradicts Shmuel. Shmuel was saying that if you get the portion you're supposed to get, even though it's too much or too little, that it's going to be valid. You just got to take off or take more regarding what was done. But that's contradicted by this halacha of Shmuel, which says that's not true. Even if you took the 29 out of the 30, that's your portion. But if you didn't get all exactly the measurement, that hadudin, it could be undone. But that's not like Shmuel's halach, which says it doesn't have to be. As long as it's that portion, even though it's not the right amount, it is valid. So that answers Abai Trapava as we continue on top of Kav Zayinim and Aleph. No. Hasam over there, by this case of Rabbi Shmuel that you're asking from, by a business transaction when he's selling him a kur for there's 30 coins. Avid Rabbanan Milsa Denichele Lamecher Benichele Lekech. You write in your question. It's true that if someone has what they should have, even though it's not exacting, yeah, you saw from Halacha Shmuel that it's going to be valid. But so why, by the Kor B'Shleishim, did we say that they could back out? Is because that was the purpose of the Chacham's Takana, that they could back out until the Mashiach is done on all of it, because this is actually the intention and the willingness of both the consumer and the seller. Because they both want it to be like this. Why? The buyer wants that they both could back out until the total conclusion of the Mashiach on the entire sale, because he wants that if the price goes down, he could back out, and because so then he could save himself, and I can go buy somewhere cheaper. Now the seller also wants, because if the price goes up, he could also back out, so he's not going to have to sell him this cheaper price. So therefore, it was with this intention that both the seller is selling and the buyer is buying, that they could back out up until even yes, till the last saw. Whereas by the Seifa, which said that no, he is going to acquire each saw as it comes, that's only because, as we described in the previous stuff, after every single saw, that's already the conclusion of that sale, because each saw the seller then becomes its own acquisition. But regarding the case of the dividing of the land, no, that is not that they want to be able to back out, to the contrary. These brothers want to get done with the other brother as fast as possible, that each one could get what's my portion, that I could get busy doing all the work I want to do, which is capitalist versus socialist, because we know that a kidra debe shutfi, something that's shared by everyone, it's neither hot nor cold, because why should I work hard? He's not working hard. And therefore there, yeah, Shmuel says over there, kam dina, that it is going to be a valid, done deal, even though it's not exactly the measurements, because they want this to be done. And it doesn't have to be exact, which would be even more or less. Whereas in that halacha over here, where the kor b'shleishim, where if it's not exact, then they actually don't want to be done as fast as possible as we've described, so they can be able to back out. That's why over there, up until the end, it's not going to be a done deal, and they can back out, and therefore it's not a contradiction in this halacha of Shmuel.